Good morning. It is Saturday, July the 13th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And we know what Saturday means on the wake-up call. It is a day for a Holy Spirit story. And we have another good one today. It's entitled, When the Holy Spirit Speaks, with Nicey T. Eller. Our text is always on Saturday, what I call the Great Combustion. I've also called it the Great Commotion, as in co-motion. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Hear now the word of the Lord. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Today's Holy Spirit story comes to us from Nicey T. Eller. I was so inspired by her note to me accompanying the story, I thought I would just share some of it here. She writes, I've never been part of New Room, but you and Seedbed are now a significant part of my personal and corporate church life. I thank God for your gift of writing and for your leadership. I used Still Day One, Living in the Day After the Day of Pentecost, as a book study last year in our adult vacation Bible school. From there, our church, Abbeville Methodist Church in Abbeville, Alabama, has shared the wake-up call with the congregation as a daily devotion option and as a source of powerful content. This year, I referenced the video explaining the profound outpouring of the London Awakening at a prayer meeting, and it inspired me as I prepared for Vacation Bible School. My theme was, Meet Me at the Altar. We had five churches represented in our adult class, and I encouraged them all to add wake-up call to their devotions and to share with their churches. You bless and bless and bless. Well, there's an example of the kind of sower we're looking for. That's getting the seed out in all sorts of ways. Thank you for that, Nicey. Now, without further ado, here's Nicey's story in her own words. And if you listen, you'll hear it in her own voice.
When the Holy Spirit speaks, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say at the moment when you need them. Luke 12:12. When the Holy Spirit spoke to him, Philip did exactly what he was told to do. He left his chariot to preach Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts 8:35. When the Spirit spoke to the church at Antioch as they fasted and prayed, they separated Paul and Barnabas for special missionary work. Acts 13:2. When he spoke to me, I was not fasting or praying. I was not in a worship service. I was not thinking spiritual thoughts. I was cutting grass. Every weekend, my husband and I worked on the property we planned to enjoy full time after we retired from our careers. Although I loved being an elementary school principal, and he enjoyed the challenges of being a program manager, we looked forward to exchanging suits for boots to start a cattle ranch. We cleared paths through brambles and briars, monitored creeks running among hardwoods, and worked to finish the cabin we brought to life one log at a time. That Sunday afternoon, I mounted my mower and once again became the Lawn Ranger. Navigating around trees we had planted, my thoughts about the upcoming week were silenced by a voice that didn't belong to me. If Timothy tells you he is joining the military, tell him you will be proud of him. Neither the roar of the old riding mower nor the target practice earmuffs squeezing my head muted the message. I heard it as clearly as if I were sitting at a table, face to face with the messenger. My response filled my shocked mind. What? Ever patient, the Holy Spirit spoke again. Same message. If Timothy tells you he is joining the military, tell him you will be proud of him. The mower kept moving, but my thoughts cut to Timothy, my just-turned 18-year-old middle son, a senior in high school. With less than 2 months to go before graduation, he had completed college applications, submitted transcripts, and received acceptance letters and scholarship notifications. I knew what I had heard, but I struggled to understand why. Timothy had not broached the subject of joining the military. My dad, husband, and 6 brothers had worn uniforms from every branch of the armed forces except the Coast Guard. If my son chose to serve Uncle Sam, our whole family would be proud. But if he enlisted, I expected him to be an officer, and that would take a college degree. Timothy was not joining the military. That message from the Holy Spirit seemed unnecessary. I shrugged and cut grass. When I finished, I stored the mower, packed up our weekend work clothes, and headed back home, 90 miles north. Just like I knew the way home, I knew the Holy Spirit had spoken to me. The message, however, faded like daylight at dusk. I heard the door close when Timothy came into the house after getting off work. I felt him as he stood in the doorway separating the office from the kitchen before I turned to see him. We talked about his day as a cart wrangler for a local grocery store and what I had done on the farm while we were there. Sitting cross-legged on the floor, I turned my back to him to finish stacking papers I had spread out. Without moving, he said, "I'm going to join the National Guard." I froze. Informing me he planned to join the circus would not have stunned me more. Reasons for him to reconsider what he had just said immediately came to my mind, but they died on the tip of my tongue. In that frozen split second, I understood the message. Taking a deep breath, I cut my eyes to heaven, slowly turned around, then said, "If you join the military, I will be proud of you." The Spirit had prepared me for the unexpected, and He gave me exactly what I needed to say, just like Jesus promised. 6 weeks after graduation, Timothy headed to boot camp. As a combat medic, he served in Iraq and Afghanistan. As a firefighter and EMT, he has witnessed death, saved lives, and given hope. I celebrated his college graduation 8 years after he took the oath of enlistment. I believe the work of the Spirit preserved my relationship with my son. I have learned whether we receive a message from the Holy Spirit in a horse-drawn chariot or on a craftsman chariot, through fasting or prayer, or when we think we don't have a prayer, His timing is perfect, and He keeps His word always.
The prayer. Father, thank you for this story of the way you speak to us by your Spirit, and sometimes with great specificity. Thank you for Nicey's faith and for all the ways she's seeking your kingdom and following you, Jesus. I think what we want to say to you today is we are open to such messages from you. I am open, and I pledge my attention and obedience in advance. Make my heart pliable and my spirit attentive to your leading. Come, Holy Spirit, praying in Jesus' name. Amen. The journal prompt today, have you ever had this kind of experience told in today's story? What happened? And for our song today, we're going to sing a spiritual song. It's Hymns on the Weekdays, Spiritual Song on Saturday, and a Psalm on Sunday we're singing. We're singing 7 days a week, friends. We're going to sing Sanctuary. That's our Saturday song. We'll sing it through twice. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. And Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. Well, gang, it's Saturday, and we've got sowing to do today. You'll be on different fields. Maybe you'll go out to the back 40 today, and you'll see those back 40 folks. And be ready. Be ready to engage. Don't be in a hurry today. Slow down your pace. Become conscious. You know, Saturday's a good day to become conscious of, like, staying in the moment. So often in the week, we're meeting ourselves coming and going. We're oftentimes not where our feet are. Our phones constantly are trying to take us somewhere where we're not. But let's let Saturday be a day to recover our sense of being and living in the moment, in the present moment. Great book was written many years ago called The Sacrament of the Present Moment. I believe that's right. A lot of the great mothers and fathers have explored this concept, you know, practicing the presence of God. That's Brother Lawrence. But it takes some effort to get there, to think about the thing that you're actually doing right now, even if it's just walking, even if it's just sitting still, but to be where you are, to be fully attuned. Because that's where the Lord is. When you do that, he's waiting for you there. Oftentimes, he's waiting for us in the moment to come to our senses, to come to him, and then to follow him through that moment, what he's doing, how he's wanting to see, interact, hear, speak, be present to others through us. That's what being a sanctuary is all about. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, a tabernacle, a moving tabernacle of your presence, Lord, in the world. That's what this is about. So be encouraged today. He's with you. He's for you. He's in you. And he'll move through you. And he'll encounter other people in those same ways. He'll convince others through your presence that he's with them, that he's for them, which will lead them down the pathway of inviting him to come inside of them and then to work through them. That's the simplicity of the gospel: with, for, in, through. I'm going to leave you with that thought today and send you into the fields of Saturday, sowing for a great awakening. I'll see you out there. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.